Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Invest Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking on-chain data. There's lots of crazy stuff happening in the crypto world, and it's a particularly intense week on-chain with a lot of funds all over the place. So we are joined this week by Sandra Liao, who is research manager at the blockchain analytics firm Nansen, who is going to be best placed to go through all these happenings. How are you doing today, Sandra? Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
Yeah, so I mean, best place to start is probably Binance. We are recording this December 14th. So the last few days have seen some pretty crazy outflows from Binance. You know, there's been a lot of tweets from Zhao, CZ, the CEO on Twitter. What have you guys been seeing on chain out of Binance?
Yep. I think, there's just a lot of, controversies and, you know, a lot of fight regarding centralized exchanges in general. We've seen that, you know, right after the FTX collapse, when, market participants just started withdrawing their funds out of a lot of the main sexes out there, right? So I think over the past 2 days, Binance handled over $7 billion in net outflows over the past 2 days. So the exchange also paused USDC withdrawals after experiencing such a major outflow of assets, right? I think the main takeaway here is that, I guess, traders are trying to move away from these third-party custodians and sort of moving away from, you know, centralized exchanges in general. Despite the stress test that we've seen with like $7 billion worth of outflows in the past 2 days in Binance, you can see that the exchange is still working perfectly fine. And when we look at the proof of reserves that we have on Nansen, you can see that Binance has over $60 billion worth of assets, on-chain assets, right? So I think in general, you're seeing this, overall sentiment where people are extremely just bearish on centralized exchanges and, you know, market participants are trying to steer clear, from these third-party custodians.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense, given all the chaos this year, and particularly with FTX. So $7 billion is obviously a staggering number. You say, is the $60 billion of reserves they had, is that after the $7 billion went out? So do they have 67 recently?
Yeah. So I tracked it over the past couple of weeks, and they've been staggering at around $60 billion.
Wow. Okay. And is this scale of withdrawals, like, on a historical sense, is this like completely unprecedented to have this amount, or like say for the Luna crash, when, you know, there was a flood of withdrawals across the space as well, is this on a whole different level, or have we seen anything close to this before?
Yeah, I think one thing to also note that when you put the six to seven billion withdrawals in the past few days from Binance, it's actually not that much, right? When you compare it to, you know, what has happened in the Luna crash, we saw a lot more withdrawals that happened during that period of time. And even the CEO of Binance, CZ, clarified that, you know, this $6 to $7 billion in 2 days is actually not such a big amount that people should be worried. But I think it's because of sort of the contagion that we've seen with FTX and, you know, the aftermath that happened. Market participants are just extremely in doubt of centralized exchanges, and they're worried whenever a big withdrawal happens. So I think it's less of the contagion that we're seeing, but it's more of, okay, what are market participants thinking? And obviously, I think psychologically, they're not in the best place to be, seeing such a big withdrawals. And obviously, it just causes a lot of panic.
Yeah, and especially just, you know, after FTX, Binance is, it's really just the whole industry at this point, nearly. Okay. Like, obviously, you've got Coinbase as well, but after those two, I mean, there's such a big drop off even to Coinbase. So it's just so important to the ecosystem at large that it makes sense that if there's any kind of doubt, that panic swirls. And where do you think people are withdrawing to? Are they withdrawing to cold storage? Like, or I guess it's not an exact science here because it's not super public where it's going. But to the best of your guys' knowledge, like, where do you think people are withdrawing to?
Yeah, I think there's a few avenues, right? So we've seen in the past 2 days, it was mostly funds that were withdrawing their assets on chain. So we saw two main entities. So we saw Jump Trading and Wintermute. So basically, I think both of these entities typically perform a lot of market making activities. So it's very hard to see, like, okay, if they're withdrawing such a big sum, are they also depositing? So we saw in the past couple of days, Wintermute was actually withdrawing a lot of assets. But over the past day itself, they deposited almost the same amount that they withdraw, right? So I think it's mostly just a market making pattern instead of, you know, just withdrawing to other avenues. But on the other hand, you have like retail participants. And we've seen a lot of signs where, I guess, retails are just extremely cautious of where they put their assets. And especially just like parking assets on centralized exchanges is an extremely like worrying thing, especially if you're so new to the crypto space. I think it just hinders a lot of new participants from joining the space, right? So we've seen a lot of patterns where, you know, people are moving to just like, you know, ledgers or treasures and, you know, different offerings where it's a much safer way to park your assets.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, it just makes sense because if you look at the risk reward, like I withdrew from Binance as well a few weeks ago and FTX went down, not because I had any indication that they were in trouble or anything like that, and still don't. But it's like, why not just withdraw to Cold Storage? If you're just a retail investor, why not withdraw to Cold Storage, just wait till the dust settles and then come back to it rather than, you know, even taking the 0.0001% chance. You know, a hardware wallet's only $100 or whatever. So if you do have holdings, it kind of makes sense from a risk management point of view, I guess. But that's a good point you make about deposits coming in. You know, we really should be looking at the net movements rather than just withdrawals. So one question I have is, like, have you seen an uptick in deposits to other exchanges, like now over the last few days, like say Coinbase, for example? Is there anything unusual on that side of things?
Yeah, I think right after the FTX collapse, we saw a pretty unusual movement where there was just a lot of net outflows from Coinbase into other exchanges, right? So people were withdrawing out of Coinbase and sort of moving into Binance. So this was right after the FTX collapse when, you know, the proof of reserves came out and people assumed that Binance was solvent, obviously, and extremely safe. And so we saw a lot of movements out of Coinbase and out of these like smaller exchanges to Binance. But obviously, over the past few days, from all the FUD that's happening with Binance, there's not a lot of activity that's actually going on in other exchanges, or at least nothing unusual.
Wow, that's fascinating. So in the aftermath of FTX collapsing, people moved funds from Coinbase to Binance.
Yeah, so there were quite a couple of very large withdrawals coming out of Coinbase and other like smaller, you know, crypto exchanges.
That's really interesting. I never would have guessed that because, like, to me, I would have just been like, right, Coinbase is a public company. Like, a lot of Binance is still quite opaque, right? I know they published their pub. Is this just purely because of the proof of reserves announcement and the kind of shock that caused the market? It was like, wow, okay, this is a real show of strength.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of factors. I think, yeah, one of which is I think the proof of reserves really helped them. Obviously, we're unable to see the liabilities, and that's just the nature of our industry, right? But I, because the proof of reserves was already out there, it just gave market participants a sense of comfort. Like, okay, if I wasn't able to use FTX, the next alternative would be Binance, per se.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, because I've written extensively about this over the last month. Like, to me, like a proof of reserves is, I don't want to say redundant, but without a proof of liabilities, like you just can't be certain. Like you just don't have enough knowledge to make a fair assessment without liabilities. And right now, CZ is saying that, you know, it's harder to do. And I know he had one tweet where it was like, oh, you can ask around. We don't owe liabilities anyone, which is, I mean, in an ideal world, it should all be there. So that's why I find it interesting that people kind of flooded in straight off the back of the proof of reserves. But in terms of like, so say Binance have that proof of reserves, Coinbase, like how easy is it for you guys to see like what reserves other exchanges have And like, how much easier is it now that Binance have revealed? Like, do you have any intel on what kind of holdings Coinbase have? I know like Brian Armstrong's come out and tweeted like, oh, we've over 2 million Bitcoin and stuff like that. But can you guys track that on chain?
Yeah, I think it's quite difficult to track on chain now, especially because we actually need the consensus of the exchanges of whether they want to actually appear on our proof of reserves on Nansen, right? I think it's just a back and forth thing where it's like obviously we want to be transparent with our data and we want to make sure that we have most of their wallets available just to give a very clear picture of their actual proof of reserves, right? But I think it's also a two-way street where it's like, okay, the exchange has to actually agree on it. And we've seen a lot of other exchanges actually come up to us and, even DeFi protocols that are starting to be like, okay, this is what we're experiencing on chain and this is what we want you to track. So we've seen, other smaller DeFi protocols to, blue chip DeFi protocols that are coming up to Nansen. Specifying that they actually want to appear on our proof of reserves.
That's cool, yeah, because like to me that's kind of like the power of blockchain in a way. Like we've never really had anything like this technology's big breakthrough is, putting everything out there into the public sphere. And yeah, it's almost like wasted in a way, I guess. If so it is cool that like even small companies are coming to you guys, and like I know Nansen has tabs on a load of different companies and like so much amazing data, but there is that's certain companies like Coinbase or whatever haven't quite got to that point where they're revealing everything. Do you think like in time we'll get there where we'll have this like fully transparent, like all these companies will have everything on chain, or is that maybe a bit naive to think?
Yeah, I think it's still extremely hard to tell right now, especially with all the contagion that's still happening. So I think we have to move to a stage when all the air has been cleared out and all the sort of bad actors in the space are sort of gone, right? And we can restart again. Because right now I think what we're trying to do is just to stay on top of things. I think most market participants are just still on the sidelines, especially what we've tracked on chain. No one's really performing anything substantial, just because I think there's a lot of time to be patient. And I think patience is key here, right? Like a lot of the people that I've spoken with, they are just staying on the sidelines and waiting for things to clear up before they actually start depositing their money and trading on chain again.
Yeah, I guess like we were saying earlier, that kind of makes perfect sense. Maybe let's change tack a bit and talk about DeFi. So, because I know you guys have a bunch of data in DeFi, and that's obviously decentralized and is where theoretically you have more transparency than a lot of decentralized entities. DeFi has seen massive flows out of the space. The TVL, which is total value locked, has kind of plummeted this year. Have you seen anything notable over the last month or two in DeFi as this has all come out, or are things just ticking along as normal there?
Yeah, I think in general, when you look at the TVL, as you mentioned, the TVL has fallen from like 150 billion earlier this year, just in April, right, to about, I think, 40, 50 billion as of now. So the only way to really contextualize this information is sort of the case that the macro situation is worsening as we speak. And crypto is still not its own asset class, right? And when you look at the performance of Bitcoin, it's always been largely correlated with stocks. And I would say a lot of people are speculating that, Bitcoin will decouple from stock assets. Specifically, I think our industry has not proven that we're able to really see the decoupling happen, especially in like the next year or so. I think it's still extremely, we're not at a stage where the crypto market is mature enough, I feel. Despite this comment, however, I think it's also worth noting that even after the FTX collapse has happened, I think you can still see that the price of Ethereum is still stagnating at four figures. It's still at 1K, right? And I think a lot of people were predicting that the price of Ethereum will collapse, especially with the FTX debacle that has happened. But we're still seeing, pretty decent signs from Ethereum and sort of market participants still willing to put their money into, the different crypto assets out there. So I think it's overall, it's a very bullish sign for DeFi. And I think we'll continue seeing these really positive signs come up in the next couple of months.
Yeah, no, I completely agree that crypto definitely hasn't decoupled from stocks. And I think even just the last day is all you need to see. Like yesterday when we saw the CPI print come out and Bitcoin, you know, rose just in tune with the Nasdaq and the S&P when it was below expectations. So yeah, it's very much being driven by macro now. It's trading like a high risk asset. So I think the question is what will happen in the long term, whether it can actually decouple. But I think the price action so far this year kind of proves, and all through the pandemic, really, when we the low money environment and seeing it propel upwards. And something I want to ask about is on that tune as well. So we had this like zero interest rate, you know, free money, the whole thing, everything, financial assets just exploding all through COVID. And now that's kind of changed as of maybe like March, I think this year, we kind of transitioned into a new interest rate paradigm. We saw these rates rising. I'm curious as to how this has affected DeFi, because I know like DeFi yields have kind of moved the opposite way. Like through COVID, when we had zero rates in the traditional markets, DeFi was actually, you know, investors could go there and they were yield farming, they were collecting a nice return. Whereas now we're seeing treasury yields at is it 4% at the moment, and DeFi yields are like 1.5% maybe. So yeah, do you have any insights into that? Like, do you think that's pushing some of the TVL out of DeFi as well?
Yeah, I think that could be one reason, but I don't think that, I don't think that that's the only reason why, right? I think holistically, like if I want to contextualize this information and just look at what's happening on chain, I can look at, you know, ETH exchange flows. I can look at stablecoin exchange flows. I can also look at, you know, whether VCs are still putting their money out there and are they still open to investing in different companies at this point in time, right? So I think when we look at all these three factors, I can go into it a bit more into details as well if you like. So I think when we look at, like, for example, the ETH exchange flows, as I mentioned on the thread that I put out a couple of weeks ago, we can see that, you know, there's a lot of ETH that's actually being drawn out of the centralized exchanges, right? And the reason for this happening is obviously, I think, the insecurity of centralized exchanges in general. And we're also seeing, you know, risk off behavior from a lot of market participants, right? And, you know, moving on to sort of the stablecoin exchange flows, we're also seeing a similar sign where, you know, institutions and funds are actually pulling their money out of centralized exchanges and even DeFi in general, right? Like it's not a risk on, you know, high appetite for investing period of time. But what we're seeing is the complete opposite, where, you know, funds and institutions are actually staying on the sidelines and waiting for the market to clear up. And in general, when you look at the bigger picture, I think there's just a general sense of uncertainty of what's going to happen
Definitely.
with the macro outlook. And because of that, the crypto market is obviously still highly affected by, you know, the news that we're expected to see in the next few days, especially with what's happening and with what's about to come in the macro outlook.
Yeah, like I think that the next rate outlook is to be announced this afternoon, for example. And yeah, there's just so many variables. Like even in like I'm dialing in from Europe at the moment, even with the Ukraine war, like in gas prices, like yeah, you're dead right. Like uncertainty is just as high as it's ever been. Do you have any like so why exactly in DeFi have these rates fallen? Do you have any insight into that? Like why have they gone so opposite to what's happening in the real world? Was it just a case of the market getting more efficient and that they were just completely unsustainable at the previous rates, and you know it's just kind of natural, or was there something else here?
Yeah, I think especially for DeFi, you know, during the euphoric bull market, we just saw a lot of market participants come in because of that. We were seeing like, you know, 4,000% in APY for some DeFi protocols that are notably, you know, known as Ponzi's, right? So there were a lot of these Ponzi schemes coming up. People were getting extremely excited. And because of that, I think it also attracted a lot of retails from coming in. Because they were like, okay, we're getting such high APYs from these DeFi protocols. Why am I still holding my assets in centralized exchanges or other, you know, other mediums, right? So it was such an attractive place to be in, especially during the bull run. We also saw a bit of that earlier this year, before the market actually turned the complete opposite way. So I think the yields were too attractive and they were too unsustainable. And this it was a complete collapse, right? I think it was a lot of factors that came into play. It was possibly the tokenomics that was unsustainable. A lot of DeFi protocols were just created as forks of other notable protocols out there, or they were just created because it was the best new thing in a new chain that just launched. So I think with all these factors that came into play, you can see that the yields were just getting more and more as unsustainable, and market participants actually were on the catching end of it.
I think they definitely weren't sustainable during COVID. So, I think probably not too surprising on a holistic basis. Anything else on chain? Like, do you guys track NFTs as well, or do you mainly stick to you do? Like, have you seen? Because I know like the volume on them has absolutely cratered since the start of the year. Like, are you seeing any activity in them in the last month? Like, has it got even worse since FTX, or well, yeah, any news there?
I think just from sort of the high level overlook, I think the NFT market is still plummeting as we speak. So we've seen volumes decrease by over like 80, 90% compared to earlier this year. And I would say comparatively, like earlier this year, we saw a lot of new market participants and new buyers coming into the NFT space. Because I think as a retail participant, it's much easier to get into the NFT space than, let's say, DeFi. I think DeFi is a lot more complex for someone who's extremely new. And if you want to get onboarded to crypto, let's say, I think NFTs is something that you can easily teach someone who wants to get into the space. So that was what we were seeing earlier this year during the whole NFT bull run. I think, after March or April, we just saw the volumes completely topple off charts. And I think over the past few weeks, we saw a little bit of, I guess, positive correlation with the NFT market, especially with, some DeFi protocols actually experiencing an increase in price. And because of that, NFTs were also experiencing a similar local bull run, I would say. I think overall, like mints are still, at all-time lows. Not a lot of protocols or projects are actually wanting to deploy at this moment. So I think considerably, like the NFT market is still at its all-time lows, I would say.
I suppose that's not surprising given how novel and risky an asset class it is and what's happened in the wider market. I think that's a very good point that you make about it being like less intimidating for new retail investors to get into, because like one area I think DeFi really needs to improve on is, that initial barrier to entry. Because like when you're in, like, I mean, you and I are used to crypto at this point, but if you like send someone even to Uniswap who's never used crypto before, and they have to open a wallet and they need to like write down their seed phrase, and then you're trading, like the whole thing is new, and the wallet experience can be kind of clunky. And I just think at the start it's just a little daunting sometimes. So I think like that's one big area I'm hoping will improve over the next year or two, and I'm sure it will as crypto kind of becomes more mature. And even like just a simple from a simple point of view, like the interface or whatever. I think, but people do forget like how new DeFi is. Like it's only whatever summer, their DeFi summer was like 2020. So, I mean, we'll be fine. I think that's kind of all for today. I'm going to, for any listeners, I'll link Sandra's Twitter. I loved your last thread and always some good info there. So, if anyone's into anything on chain, she's a good follow. And I'll link to Anansen and everything as well. Always love the research and data that you guys get on chain. So hope I can chat to you soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.